Welcome to Bridge the Gap with host Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by our supporting partners, NHI, TSO Life, NRC Health, Erdman, Sherpa, TIS, and RCARE. Find out more about this podcast at btgvoice.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast, the senior living podcast with Josh and Lucas. We are in Nashville, NHI's Music City Symposium, and we have on a great young leader in the business, Ben Thompson of Senior Living Communities out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you.
Ben, also great head of hair, my man.
Look at that hair.
Dude,
I got hair envy.
Yes. So great to have you, man. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about your journey in senior living. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening here at the NHI Music City Symposium. Some great conversation on a panel discussion led by our friend Cameron with NHI. Did a great job. And understand you had really an insider scoop at helping with some of the outline and guiding some of the discussion today. So we're really thankful to have you on the show.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, man.
So Ben, let's dive into it a little bit. You guys work in a family business. Tell us this background. We heard Donald, your father, speak on the panel. A lot of great information about how the culture of your organization works. I love following y'all's information on social media. You guys are actually, you know, one of the very few that are very active on social media. So I'm throwing a lot of things at you, but why don't you tell our listeners and our audience, you as a young leader coming into the business, talk about your perspective.
Sure. Yeah. First, I'll comment on the social media comment you made. We actually have two dedicated full-time social media individuals at our home office in Charlotte. And so that's basically more or less all they do between Facebook, Instagram, so on and so forth.
Definitely. And it's a great point.
That's all I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, so it really shows. And I think so many people, I mean, we could go off on a tangent about this, but our industry has traditionally been pretty behind the times. And I think people don't realize how much of a tool it can be, but how much time and attention it takes to detail. So like you said, it's a couple people's full-time job.
Yeah, two people's full-time job. And kind of related to the panel, talking all about labor, obviously that's ours and everyone else's number one challenge right now. One of the, I think, the undervalued aspects of using social media is not just for like families or from a marketing to prospects, it was actually team members. So one of the reasons why we have two dedicated people is because one of those folks actually spends a lot of it around hiring. So we actually post our jobs on Facebook and use Facebook, Instagram to recruit as well. And we've actually gotten a pretty good response out of that, so much so that we had a couple communities a year ago when we started doing the essentially job advertising on Facebook and Instagram, they kind of said, shut off the valve. We can't handle this much applicant flow.
That's awesome.
So, industry, yeah, so are you listening?
Yeah.
Please listen to this.
Yeah, please listen to that. And I think it does take some strategy, some attention, some effort, and it doesn't happen overnight. You've got to like work on it. And so, yeah, thank you for sharing that. That was not even part of our discussion today. That's just an added nugget for our audience. So that's awesome. So thanks for sharing.
Sure. Yeah, so go back to more your perspective on coming up in,
Sure. So family business, Donald Thompson is our founder and CEO. He started out as a contractor, actually, kind of got into the business as a developer, kind of that typical story, fell into it randomly of sorts, had a family friend who knew of him as a developer and a general contractor and said, hey, I'd like to build this community in Hendersonville, North Carolina, small town, western North Carolina near Asheville, where I was born. And so that's how we got into it back in 88, so 31 years ago, and then kind of liked it, saw there's opportunity there. And so then he started running the development division of that company, became the gentleman's partner, got in operations, and he's been doing it ever since. I was alive at that time, but an infant. So my story is slightly different. It's actually not a situation where I was ever interested in going into the family business. Certainly grew up around it, had lots of exposure to it, have been to plenty of communities as a child, and I probably had no idea what I was even at. I remember telling my friends when I was little that, you know, when someone asked what your dad does, and I'd say, oh, he's a venture capitalist, but I honestly didn't even really know until I was older. And then even, you know, fast forward into college up until my senior year, still never going to, oh, I'm going to go into senior housing. It wasn't just something I was interested in. I kind of had an entrepreneurial mindset similar to my dad. I inherited that from him. And basically, I was applying for jobs. And, you know, senior year, I had multiple other opportunities. But the beauty of a family business, and we're not, certainly not small, but we're NHI's largest operator, but by revenue. But we small enough that I saw an opportunity to get to wear a whole bunch of different hats and get a lot of experience right away out of school. And so I jumped on that, figured it'd be a good way of just getting a lot of industry professional experience. And my thought was that I would take that somewhere else. But after the first couple of years of being in, on my ninth year now, I just kind of fell in love and enjoyed it more and more. And, you know, especially getting to spend time in our communities with the residents and really realize what we do and what we're about. And here I am. Couldn't leave.
So what's a day in the life of your shoes like? What are you doing?
So in my current role, I'm basically in charge of operations for the company. So I largely manage the day-to-day. So every week's a little different depending on what's going on in our world. Certain, you know, some days putting out fires, in which case that day varies. But otherwise, my big emphasis and what I try and focus a lot of my time on, certainly the past 2 years, which is how long I've been in charge of operations for the company, really trying to focus on culture building, which a lot of that ties into what the main panel here is talking about, labor, since mm-hmm. at the end of the day, your culture is really all tied to and relates to your labor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I try and spend a lot of my time on, as well as, you know, all the typical, industry items,
sure.
Leadership items, managing different departments.
So talk to us about the makeup of the acuity levels that you cater to. Is it independent, assisted, CCRC?
Yeah, so pretty much everything we operate is a CCRC, your life plan community, and we have a couple kind of one-offs, like a couple might not have skilled nursing, so might not have that full continuum, but for the most part, the bulk of our portfolio and basically everything with NHI is all the CCRC, your life plan community. So usually about 60% of our units, 65% are independent living, and then like another 25-30% is assisted living and memory care, and then that last 10-15% is skilled. So we kind of consider ourselves specialists of sort in the continuum. We're very firm believers in that continuum of care. A lot of our competitors are standalone assisted living memory care, standalone skilled, or maybe ILL memory care. We really value, for the consumer's sake, really the prospect's sake, that continuum. I think it brings... it's a better product for seniors, we believe. Of course, I'm biased, but.
Which is actually always interesting, and I'm certainly not the expert to speak on this, but I do read the articles, and it seems to be a trend of the past couple of years that CCRCs have come up in the headlines about, not a good model going forward. But yet, we've had multiple guests on that talk about this as a really valuable model to the marketplace and to the operator themselves.
Yeah.
And I think some of that is driven by, well, a couple of things, especially, you know, predominantly we have or operate is all entry fee. And the reason why some folks might say that is because the entry fee model can be cyclical with the housing market.
Sure.
So there's more risk, whereas if you're purely looking at, somebody uses the term care services, we actually don't refer to the licensed part of our business anymore as healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything we try and do, we try and reiterate that it's home. It's not we're not a hospital. We're not not a medical office. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, we provide healthcare services, but we call it care services. So if I use the term care services, that's what I'm referencing. One day maybe the industry will pick up. we'll see. But that's the term we use.
So there was a wealth of information today. We obviously don't have time on our show. And there's a huge evening full of great events that we've got to all get to. And we've got people like looking at us saying time. But we want to touch on a few of the things. We talked about labor on this panel. Your dad was on there as CEO talking about a lot of things. But take us away. Everything was around recruitment, retention, the atmosphere that and the attention that is being placed on labor. Everybody was standing in the room when they asked the question, how many people, this is like on your top two radar of things that keep you up at night or things that you're focused on. So what are a couple, if you could just give us two of the initiatives that you guys are really focused on, centered around labor, recruitment, and retention?
Sure. So two of these were more or less touched on earlier as well, so kind of be repeating them, but essentially two things. One being immediacy, and to kind of give a little data point for you around that. When I say immediacy, I'd like to step back and explain first. When I say immediacy, I mean immediacy of hire. So we're trying to treat a new hire, potential employee, the same way we would a prospect, where we want to court them, we want to find them quickly, find a lot of them, find a qualified candidate, and get them on board. So same way you want residents to move into your community, we want a new or prospective team member to join our team as quickly as possible. So a lot of our initiatives have been around that. How do we do that? Daily pay and paying them quicker, that's part of that, because they can join us, we can pay them quicker, they're more likely to join us. What's interesting, and this is bizarre to me, in the past year right now, our average, on average across all of our communities, some it's higher and lower, on average about 15% of our new hires do not show up for their first day of work. What I mean by that is we have pre-screened that, so we've interviewed them, we've hired them, they've signed, we've done a background check, we run for all of our communities, we run a full drug screen, we run a full federal background check, not just state. So we've done that on the healthcare side of the business, we've done the PPD test. I mean, we've gone through all our pre-screening, we've spent a bunch of time and money, but 15%, so you know, out of 10, almost 2 out of 10 employees don't actually show up for the first day to work. And that's because they got offered by somebody else who was maybe able to start them and or pay them quicker. So that's kind of what we're up against and what we've been combating. So that we've called it Project Immediacy, but there's no end date on that project. It's just the way the world is now and what we continue to plan to do. The other item, I guess, you know, mentioned kind of top two. The other item is we feel like we've always had best in class benefits, but we've kind of had to rethink our compensation strategy, because one of the challenges we found is that, especially at that hourly team member, I mean, I say minimum wage, sure, but, you know, minimum wage is $7.85, whatever it is. Our minimum wage is realistically $12 to $13 an hour, more or less. We don't have any team members that start below that. One of our challenges is how do we get them to value some of the benefits we provide? Because we specifically have some phenomenal programs, in particular our paid time off program, industry leading, really much better than any most employers outside of our industry as well. Our frontline staff actually gets 21 days of paid time off in their first year. They start accruing that right out of the gate. So one of the things that we did, we call it flexible paid time off. So we actually let our team members cash that out. The point being, if they've worked for us for a few months, they now have, you know, 5-10 days, whatever it is, in the bank, they can request it, and we'll cash it out for them, pay it to them, then it's theirs, they own
so
it.
So they keep working, so they don't take the time off.
Yeah,
they just take the cash.
Yes, yeah, so that, you know, let's say they got 10 days or 80 hours of PTO, and that's worth whatever it is, for easy math sake, let's say it's $10 an hour, and so they got $800 in the bank, they want to take it as cash, we'll cut it to them in a check, because they earned it. We're keeping it on our, you know, we've accrued it on our books. It's a liability, so it's their money. But a lot of employers don't do that, and we essentially were already paying for it anyway, so why not give it to them? And kind of another interesting thing, where part of this, we've done the cash out for quite some time, but additionally, we actually, since we call it flexible PTO, we'll actually let them choose how much they accrue. So, I mean, first year team member gets 21 days, but if they want to accrue just let's say 5 days of PTO, the cash value over a year of that will actually put into their hourly rate. So they can actually choose to increase their hourly rate and decrease their PTO accrual, because either way they're getting paid that money.
Yeah.
And that's something else kind of unique to us that we're trying.
That's fascinating. So is there any negatives you've seen of that so far? It's like, for example, I mean, immediately my first thought was, okay, do you have any groups that are like taking the cash but then calling in sick, or, you know, like is there anything that you've seen as a result that's been counterproductive?
No, the only negative would be you know, I'm of the opinion, obviously, there's value in having some paid time off stored mm-hmm. in the event of a family emergency. And this is one of the reasons why we give so much. That way, if folks want to take a vacation, maybe one of their loved ones gets sick and they need to take care of that person instead of take care of our residents, at least for the week, 2 weeks, whatever it is. There's value in having that much paid time off in the bank they can rely on.
Sure.
Or like if our team members quit us, that's kind of a little golden parachute of sorts. Mm-hmm. We cash that out to team members that leave. So the negative is that if they're not letting it accrue, they don't have that safety blanket sure. to fall back on. But as was stated earlier, you know, the realities in our industry, 80% plus of the team members are hourly and work realistically paycheck to paycheck. So they want as much take home pay as they can. So they don't sure. really value the PTO the way that, say I would.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Fascinating. So thank you for sharing that with us in a very short, concise way. There is a lot more to that discussion. I can tell you. So any other, as we start to wrap up this conversation, any other closing things that have been really impactful to you guys at recruiting and being able to attract outside of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, some of what was talked about in here and then also certainly what I've talked about is kind of policy type items and certainly beneficial. If you go to our website, you look at our careers page, we have all those things listed. We do mm-hmm. daily pay, same day payday and all this. But at the end of the day, and there's a age old saying, you know, people don't, you know, leave organizations, they leave people, or people mm-hmm. don't join organizations, they join people. So I think there's not necessarily a system or a process that can resolve it. Some of what was talked about earlier is really about company culture. And I think some of these programs speak to our culture, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, a lot of it's just people. I mean, happy people, you got to hire for attitude. You want happy people, smiling people. Mm-hmm. You keep smiling, it's great. You know, we tell our concierges, you know, when they're answering the phones or when we tell the individual in our community, HR directors who are hiring concierges, look, when they talk to someone on the phone, that first point of contact, prospect or team member, they need to feel the smile through the phone. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, that attitude and positivity is really what sells our community. And we have very nice communities. We're typically the top of market mm-hmm. everywhere in rate and the product and everything else. But pretty buildings are pretty buildings. They don't mean much without the people. So
yeah.
I think what you've seen in the past, well, not just in our industry, but certainly the country as a whole, but the past 5-10 years, there's a real emphasis on the people because there's a shortage of them, mm-hmm. Especially good ones. And so just trying to figure out how you attract and retain those folks and
yeah.
be creative about it. So
yeah.
This is a great conversation that continues to be had in our industry. And we're so thankful for you, Ben, that you've been here and are a part of it. And, you know, you're using your talents and, you know, your time to benefit the older adults that are living in your communities in the industry. So thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for having a robust social media platform in your business. We will make sure that we connect to all of those things in the show notes so that our listeners can connect with you and follow what you guys are doing and maybe join your team. Hey, that would be great. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And thanks everyone for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
The podcast team wants to hear from you. If you're on Instagram, let us know your takeaways. Take a screenshot of the show you just listened to, tag BTG Voice, and we might just share your thoughts. Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap.